contents under pressure. This is a New Yorker cartoon from 2002. And the artist seems to be on to something. On your bulletin, you might be able to see more distinctly that there are children's toys in the front yard and at a bird bath. You might be able to see that their garden is fairly neatly manicured, and all things from the outside seem to be in place except that tape wrapped around this beautiful home. Tape that says contents under pressure. We live in a society, we live in a time when we are under pressure. Too much to do in too little time. Too many bills in too little money. Worried if we have enough to pay for the roof or for college. Worried about the diagnoses that has come from the doctor. Pressure that we seem unable to change, pressure to achieve, to fit in, pressure that's coming from outside and from within. Pressure. Contents under pressure. And I don't know about you, but I know if contents remain under pressure and there's no relief or release, something's gonna blow. Contents under pressure. And the people that you heard Michael read about in our gospel lesson are no less under pressure. The story from Luke 8 starts with a man who is a chief in the synagogue. Jairus is a leader, which means he has people he can call and direct. Jairus is someone of importance in his community. He's a man that's upstanding, a man who's supposed to be able to control things, a man who's supposed to be able to keep order. Jairus is one who has not had much experience of asking for help, but pressure has found its way to Jairus' house. Did you hear? His only child, just 12 years old, is at home near death's door. That is pressure on Jairus. And he comes to the master and he falls to his knees. Please be clear. In the first century of the Common Era, there is no man who would fall to his knees, particularly not a leader from the synagogue. That is to abase yourself. That is to embarrass yourself. Jairus in our story in Luke 8 shows up at Jesus and falls to his feet. That's what pressure will do. And there's another story that winds itself through that story of Jairus. There's a woman, Jairus' daughter is 12 years old, and she has been struggling with an issue of blood for 12 years. And in that time, blood was thought to be unclean. If ever blood was seen outside of the body, you were ostracized. You were set aside. You could not operate in community as a full citizen. You weren't welcome at table or at synagogue. You were welcome nowhere. In fact, if they knew that blood was issuing from your body, even if you could hide it and you were seen in public, you could be immediately stoned. My sister in Luke 8 is under pressure for 12 years. She's gone to every doctor. She's gone to every priest. She's prayed and cried out. She's done everything she knows to do, spending every dime that she had. And she's no better, in fact, worse. That's pressure. And so she makes her way into the public square. She makes her way into the midst of a crowd. You heard what Peter said. There are people pressing from every direction. She makes her way knowing that if she's discovered, she could be killed on the spot. She makes her way and she just reaches out to touch the edge of Jesus' cloak. She knows she's in danger. She knows what she's doing is wrong. That's why she's trying to do it in secret. Pressure will make us behave in ways that we never knew we would behave. Pressure will make us act in ways that just put us in danger. And sometimes the danger is being quiet about the pressure. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, don't you see that both Jairus and the sister with an issue of blood are under pressure? And they do the same thing to begin to alleviate the pressure. And to really understand what they do, we've got to understand a mathematical principle. Pressure, physicists tell me, is force applied to area. Now, I haven't studied fractions in a very long time. But what I know about a fraction is if you decrease the numerator, if you decrease the numerator, you are going to make pressure less. And if you increase the denominator, you will lessen the pressure. So if you decrease the force, the pressure is less. If I'm pushing on, I'm not going to hurt you, Haley. I can move this. So if I were 17 weeks old, I couldn't do this. If I decrease the force, I decrease the pressure. But Jairus and the woman with an issue of blood had no ability to decrease the force that was on their life. His daughter was lying about to die. She had been bleeding for 12 years. Try as they might to decrease the force, that was not within their realm of possibility. Mathematically, the only way for them to decrease the pressure was to increase the area over which the pressure was being applied. And that's exactly what they both did. Don't you see, when Jairus comes to Jesus and falls at his feet, what he's saying is, I can't do this alone. My power is limited and I've not been able to save my child. Everybody I've called on to help has not been able to assist me. Jesus, I am falling at your feet, because when I fall at your feet, when I lift my hands in prayer before you, I'm increasing my area, because I'm asking you to join me in this space. And when divine power joins, area increases. Beloved, that's why we pray out loud together in this place. When you lift your prayer, you're increasing your area, because you're inviting your brothers and sisters to pray with you. When we are willing to stand with one another and help hold and carry those burdens, we're increasing the area. And all of a sudden, while I'm at home by myself worried about something, when I come here and share it, I've got more area to help me hold it up, and the pressure decreases. The woman, when she comes to Jesus and touches the hem of his garment, did you hear what Jesus said? Immediately, he knew the power had gone out of him. He knew that his power had dissipated somewhere and had fallen on this woman, giving her more power. Just by touching the hem of her garment, she received more power and her area increased. Beloved, each of us in this life is going to have pressure. Each of us is going to meet a force that we can't move on our own. Each of us is going to be in circumstances where it feels like nothing we do, nothing we've thought to do, can make a difference. But that is why we are taught to pray. That is why we are taught to reach out to one another. For the moment, like the woman with an issue, we call on Jesus' name. The moment we get close and touch, the moment like Jairus, we're willing not to worry about what anybody else thinks about us, but come before God with our petition. The moment we're willing to say, Lord, increase my area by joining with me and helping me navigate my way through this. That's the moment that God responds. I'm so grateful. The woman with an issue of blood didn't even have to ask him for what she wanted. She didn't say a word. She simply drew close and touched. That was enough to increase her area. I wonder what pressure you feel under today. I wonder what pressure has come into your home, into your heart, And because we live in a culture that says we're not supposed to ask for help, you've been dealing with it all by yourself, all alone. And that equation can't change because the force against you continues to come. And the only way to change the formula is by opening your arms to the grace and the presence of our God who says, I stand near. And as long as you will open your arms and surrender that pressure to me, I will join you in that area. I'll change the equation. I will make all things new. What's the pressure? Jabez, born in pain, born a younger brother, which meant he had nothing coming. Jabez knows enough to pray, Lord, increase my territory, increase my area, so that I will not know this pain. Are we brave enough today to acknowledge the pressure we're under? As Garland plays softly, this is what I'd like you to do. You don't have to share this with a soul. I wonder if you can, on your bulletin or in your heart, write down the pressure you're under. Write down the pressure you feel. I don't need to know it. I have no power to increase that area except to join you in prayer. But I serve a God. I know a God who will be as faithful to you and to me as he was to Jairus and to the woman with an issue. I know a God who said, I didn't design you to be under this much pressure, but I come. Our God says, I come with my arms open wide. But what I need you to do, beloved, is to acknowledge what the pressure is. Acknowledge it. And ask me to join you. Ask me to join you so that that equation might be changed. What's the pressure? Would you pray about it now?
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Yes, God.
I give myself away.
Speak to us.
So you can use me. And here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I am longing to see your desires revealed in me. I give myself away, all that I am. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Beloved, that pressure is not meant for us to carry alone. I'm so grateful for Jairus. I'm so grateful for the woman with an issue. For they teach us to reach out, to seek God's guidance and God's help, to give some of that pressure away, to give ourselves away into the hands of a loving God. Gracious God, your sons and your daughters live in a culture that would apply pressure of all kinds, but you are God. Are the great divider of all that pressure. You're so strong, our God, you might take it on your being if we would but acknowledge it, if we would but speak it in the privacy of our prayer. Come to you and say, our God, help in this circumstance, in this place, in this way. I trust you, God, to receive this prayer and to help relieve this pressure. God, show us the way forward. The people who might walk with us. The way in which we might relieve the pressure. For you are a God that desires for us to live abundantly and fully, joyfully in your presence and in the presence of all creation. We surrender the pressure, our God. We give ourselves away to you that you might be for us what only you can be, our God. In Jesus' name, hear this prayer. We pray. Amen.